Welcome to Travel Devil. I'm your host Clara Franken, and in a world full of masterism, we're here to talk about unconventional travel. Let's get into it.
I don't only love the month of March because my birthday is in it, but it's also known as Women's History Month. And the 8th of March, the day before my birthday, is actually International Women's Day. So within that theme, this podcast is dedicated to all the women out there, all the eco leaders who are traveling and inspiring us all to travel differently. So basically what this podcast is about, but then focused on women.
First of all, I want to talk to you about some of my personal inspirations. These are women who I have interviewed in the past and who have inspired my own travel journey. So I'm gonna start off by introducing them. They are Tania Maxima, Dalisa Jamsi, and Emma from Emma's Roadmap. I have interviewed all three of these women and gained much information thanks to them, and have also changed my own travel ways after talking to them and after hearing from their own journey. Of course, there's many guys who also inspired me, but today is not about them, okay? Today is about the women among us all, okay? And then afterwards, I'm going to talk about a list of inspiring women, eco leaders in the travel industry, okay? I asked my network, I asked ChatGPT, and I also have my personal favorites, and I made a list of 6 people that I want to talk to you about today. I'm going to introduce them. You can Google them later. These are Margarita Samsonova, then Olivia Piana, Jane Goodall, Sylvia Earle, Wangari Maathai, and Greta Thunberg. So we're going to get into it right now. Let's go. So first of all, I want to talk to you about my favorite female interview partners, which I interviewed for my YouTube series about alternative ways of traveling, and now also for my podcast, Travel Devil. So I'm going to insert some of the clips so that you can listen to them as well. But then besides that, I'm just going to explain briefly what they're all about. So to start off, I'm going to hit it off with Tania Maxima. Tania is a cyclist. She actually would say it's more her lifestyle to be on the bicycle. She travels all around the world. She's been to so many places and she gets around on her bicycle. So basically, how does she sustain her life? That was one of my questions in the beginning. She travels, but then also she works. So she works like a couple of months a year and then she travels for the rest of the year. So she's been in the African continent, she's been in Asia, she's been in East Europe, she's been in America, South America, she's been everywhere. I feel like what inspired me most about Tania is that when talking to her, I realized that actually there's a lot of women, a lot of people who say it's scary to travel alone. And I mean, of course, there's moments where it can be scary, but is it really dangerous? That was kind of my question as well. And in her opinion, it is even less dangerous for women to travel solo than for men. So now I want you to listen to Tania herself about her solo travel tour.
I think that because I travel as a woman, I'm more safe than a man. This is my point of view. Because all the time in most of the countries, and for example, in Africa, that even the local people, they think the country is dangerous. I feel very protected by the local people. They try to protect me more than if it was a man traveling. So I think the fact that I'm a woman traveling alone, it's all the time more positive than negative. And I never had a problem. And I have many, many kilometers alone, more with the bicycle. And I never had problems. people are saying all the time, oh, man or woman, it's the same thing. It's not. It's a man and it's a woman. It's different things. For example, a woman, it will be more times raped than a man normally. So that means that a woman, it's in more danger than a man. Actually, hopefully in travel, it's not like this, because they are all the time, this is my experience, they are all the time protecting us and say, can come and camp here, pay attention to that. Maybe if I was passing in Angola alone 30 years ago, they wanted to beat me. So I think it's nice. I think they understand that we can all, men and women, pass on that place by bicycle. So I think it's a good point and it's a positive point. They respect us.
You know, when I travel solo, and I don't do this so often, I mostly travel to my friends and I'm on the road alone, but I'm never really fully alone. I've only done that like a couple of times, but most of the time I am together with friends. And how I understood it from her, basically when you're traveling alone, you're also making friends and people are taking care of you, so you don't have to travel to friends. You will just find your friends on the way and find people who will help you and support you on the way. Then the second lady I want to talk about is Dalisa Jamsi. This is a girl I interviewed a while ago about hitchhiking, because she was hitchhiking alone and she shared her experience on, is it dangerous? Is it not dangerous as well? I talked to her about this topic and I want to insert a little clip of her as well.
My husband and I love traveling and exploring around. So I started hitchhiking with him some, let's say, 4 years ago or so. And then at first it was very challenging because I was, you know, kind of embarrassed of being in the middle of the street and then putting yourself there in the open and then jumping into some stranger's car or something. When I realized that there were a lot of cool experiences around it, then I could do it alone. It was a very liberating experience. It was very amazing. Only cool things happened. And but I think that I was able to do that because I had some sort of experience beforehand with my husband that I was facing different situations, and then I knew what to do because it was not a completely new thing for me.
Hitchhiking definitely sounds even kind of more dangerous than cycling alone, because you're getting into a stranger's car and they could just drive off. There's definitely many things you can do to make sure that you stay safe. Also, while hitchhiking, maybe share your location. You could also just look at the face of the person, see if this looks like someone reliable. Trust your own gut, you know?
Always listen to whatever your guts have to say. If you feel that you are in a dangerous situation, or if you feel that you're uncomfortable, even just while being uncomfortable, then do something about it. Don't wait to see what happens next. Just do something and then change your environment. Act upon whatever you feel.
If you want to travel and you're a woman and you want to travel alone and you want to go hitchhiking, then yes, you can, okay? So the third person I want to talk about is Emma. Emma from Emma's Roadmap is a very inspiring woman because she is actually doing it all. She works during the day, like she has a full-time job, and in the weekend, she is traveling by herself most of the time. Sometimes she takes some people with her, but she's showing my home country to the world, okay? She's got an Instagram account and she's visiting beautiful destinations in Belgium and she shares them on her social media. That's what her account is about. So it's all about local traveling. In Emma's opinion, she's not focusing so much on sustainable travel. And I understand that because she takes the train, but also the car to get around, because it's not always easy to get to all the locations you want to travel to by train only. But I would also say that sustainable travel for me is more than just the ecological footprint. It's also about supporting local companies, about supporting local economy.
Yeah, you actually do the same things than when you go on on a holiday abroad, but just closer to home. I think obviously it's good for our local economy and also for the people who rent out places. A big part is for the heritage that we have in Belgium. So a lot of places like the natural park, the only way that they can preserve the place and like the prehistoric caves and like the ruins is because people visit it. So and I think it's mostly local people that visit that place. So if we stop visiting, I think they also can't maintain the area and it goes lost. So for certain places, it's definitely good if locals also visit it, because it brings them income, they can maintain it, they can keep our history alive and keep our country alive and beautiful. And yeah, I think it helps in that aspect. I don't think it's necessarily more sustainable. I think for transportation, yes, because you don't take the plane to anywhere. You stay local, so it's not too far, so you don't have those transportation costs, and you also don't have the CO2 emissions. Maybe what could make it more sustainable is if you travel a little bit slower. So if I go on a weekend adventure, I just usually take one region, and it's a little bit, I don't have to see like 100 things in 1 week or so when I go abroad. Well, when I stay in Belgium, I see like one region or one place in 1 weekend. So it's a little bit slower and it's a little bit calmer. And maybe that also makes it a little more sustainable, because you don't rush with your car from one place to the next. And then, yeah.
She goes to many little places, little castles, unknown locations, also well-known locations. Of course, people from outside of Belgium going to visit these places, but actually she's also moving a lot of Belgian people to visit their own country.
I think people have a huge stereotype about Belgium, because sometimes on my videos on Instagram, I get comments like, Belgium is ugly, who lives in Belgium, it's always raining, it's shitty, nobody wants to live here, the best advice is just to move abroad. And then I think, whew, I guess you haven't seen anything in Belgium. Most of the places I go in Belgium surprise me every time, because somehow I still think it's Belgium. What most surprised me is my first trip. It was in the region of Dinant. but it was not just the city, it was more like the environment also. And because it was COVID, it was in walking, a lot of nature. And there I saw places that I thought, whoa, I didn't know Belgium had this view. I didn't know Belgium had this nature. I didn't know Belgium had this and that. And that just really surprised me, because I thought I knew my country, but then in the end, I didn't really.
And that inspired me as well, because of course, we can always go to far locations, and that's kind of what travel's about for most people. But we can also just see the world close to our home. Besides all the women I interviewed and I know personally, there is obviously a lot of women who can inspire you. So I want to share the names of some eco-leaders that are really inspiring and who can challenge us to travel differently if we want to. I want to start off by talking about Margarita Samsonova, also known as Margreen. Margarita is the founder of Behind the Greens, a production company that focuses on filming and presenting sustainable brands. Margarita has been a content creator and storyteller for over 10 years. And in the last couple of years, she really started focusing on the sustainable aspect of it. And in her opinion, it's important to focus on solutions and on positivity instead of eco-anxiety. Because, okay, there are a lot of problems in the world, but we're not going to solve them by crying about it. And we're maybe not even going to move as many people when we're just focusing on the negative story. So I really like her approach. She's working for sustainable brands. She's doing beach cleanups. One topic I really want to talk to Margreen about in a future podcast episode is also the conservation of wildlife and how doing safaris is maybe not always the best option, but you can visit wildlife if you're taking into consideration different measures and locations. So this is an episode that is coming up, but yeah, she's really inspiring and I'm looking forward to that conversation because, yeah, for me, she's definitely my eco leader number one I wanted to mention in this podcast right now for this list because, yeah, I think we can all learn a lot from her. The second person on the list is Jane Goodall. Jane Goodall is known for her groundbreaking research with chimpanzees in Tanzania, but her work extends beyond that to environmental conservation and sustainable travel. She's got a program which is called Roots and Shoots, where she encourages young people to engage in environmental and community projects. With that, she's raising awareness for the responsibility towards the planet. Jane Goodall frequently speaks about the importance of sustainable tourism that respects wildlife and ecosystems while also benefiting local communities. So we're bringing it all together. Local travel, sustainable travel, seeing wildlife, all of that is coming together in her work. She emphasizes the need for the ethical wildlife tourism and responsible travel practices to minimize the negative impact on the fragile ecosystems. The next person I wanted to mention is Sylvia Earle. Sylvia Earle is a leading marine biologist and oceanographer who has dedicated her career to exploring and protecting the world's oceans. Through her work and research, Sylvia Earle raises awareness about the importance of sustainable travel to preserve marine ecosystems. She promotes responsible diving and snorkeling tourism that minimizes the disturbances to coral reefs and marine life. So Marine Earle's work I find really interesting because it's not about traveling on Earth, kind of, yes, but it's mostly for traveling within the ocean. Because a lot of people, when they travel, they go to sea, they go to dive, they want to see beautiful corals, beautiful fish, want to see crazy animals. But then it's also important to take care about the ocean. We're talking about ocean plastics, we're talking about conservation of the corals, of the biodiversity that has to stay and shouldn't be disturbed by these travelers. So that's what her work is about. Next person I want to talk about is Wangari Maathai. Wangari Maathai was a very important eco-leader as well. She is the founder of the Green Belt Movement, which focused on tree planting, conservation, and making communities. And she was planting trees all over Africa to prevent the deforestation. She also won the Nobel Prize for Peace in 2004, which made her the first Black woman to win this title. Another woman I want to talk about is very, very well known. She was in the media. She's a bit younger than me. And she's called Greta Thunberg. Greta Thunberg gained international recognition for her climate activism and advocacy with Friday for Future. She's not necessarily involved in the travel industry, but her activism has raised awareness to the environmental impact of travel and also transportation. Greta refuses to fly because of the carbon emission of the airline industry, and she famously even traveled across the Atlantic Ocean on a sailing ship that started conversations around sustainable transportation alternatives and the need to reduce carbon emissions from air travel. Basically, Greta Thunberg explained that there's more ways to travel, which by now, by the end of the episode, we all know we can walk, we can cycle, we can take a sailing boat, we can take the public transport, we can do many, many things, still see the world and have a lower impact. Another person I want to talk about is Olivia Piana. She's a 3-time sub champion. And she basically travels around the world on her SUP. For those who don't know what a SUP is, it stands for stand-up paddling. And so she's seeing the world on her paddle on the water. And that's really interesting. And it's also a very unknown sustainable way of traveling. So I found her story really interesting. During my research, I actually realized that she's currently working on a movie, and Chasing Horizons actually follows her journey as a water woman to conquer the new world by navigating from Peniche to Sagres in Portugal. She's covering around 290 kilometers in only 14 hours. With the documentary Chasing Horizons, she wants to inspire us to safeguard the coastal ecosystems and to limit our impact when we're traveling on the waters. Okay, after mentioning all of these women, I feel really good, actually. I've got to say that when reading this, when making my research, when listening to these inspiring stories, I feel that we women accomplish it all, you know. Of course, all people can accomplish many things, but I'm really happy that there's so many great examples of women who really did make an impact, who are still making an impact. And that is really important today in our day and age. More than ever, also with what's happening and going on in the world, okay? So I also want to acknowledge that during my research, most of the people actually I found were men. Also for my interviews I make on my podcast and on my YouTube series, I had to actively look for women, because when I was asking in groups on Reddit, when I was asking in Facebook groups, people would comment. I would find many, many interesting people and guests for my episodes. The only problem is that most of them were white men. And I guess that's kind of like normalized. It shows that they are the most around. Maybe they are the loudest, the people who want to share their experience the most, because men feel more comfortable with that than women. Overall seen, I'm not sure of that. That's my interpretation of it. But I just realized from my perspective that I had to look for women. I couldn't say I want to find eco leaders and like find a big list of women, because most of the top people, the top results, the people who want to talk about their stories, they're men. And so it even makes me more happy now to read about all these women so that I can share this with you, that I'm happy that there's many women who walked the path towards a more sustainable world and a more sustainable travel industry before me, and that there's so many sources of inspirations that I found online, that I found via friends, and yeah, that just makes me happy. So yeah, on that note, I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode, and yeah, I will see you next week. Of course, I mean, we all know that there's inspiring women. We all know our own moms and sisters and friends who are a big inspiration source to us as well. But just listening to these stories makes me happy. So I hope I could make you happy as well today by sharing these stories. And if you have other female travelers that I should interview, maybe you know personally, please, please, please write into my DMs, because I would love to have some more female perspectives in my stories. And that's really important to be represented. Also, not only white women, white men. let's focus on the world. Okay. So, yeah. This was Travel Devil, brought to you by me, your host, Clara Franken. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to continue the conversation or suggest any future guests, you can go to my Instagram @Clara Franken. Take care, and I will see you next Thursday.